As the moon set outside and the sun began its daily journey across the sky, he told the tale of his quest from the very beginning. His words filled the hall with pictures. He spoke of a clever white rat, enchanted ravens and mountain dwarves, sand elves and Dubedai. As he went on with his story, the basilisk fell to dust once more and the blue genie opened his thousand eyes. The sea serpent swam through the waves and the great rock bird snatched Ben away. Finally, as the sun outside was sinking in the sky, Nettlebrand climbed the dragon's mountain. His armor melted in blue dragon fire, and a toad hopped out of his mouth. At last, Firedrake fell silent, stretched, and looked around him. "The story ends here," he said. "The story of Sorrel and Ben the Dragon Rider, of Firedrake and Nettlebrand, the Golden One, whose servants were his doom. Tomorrow night, a new story begins. I don't yet know how it will end, and I will not tell it to you until I do." Then the llama rose, bowed to Firedrake, and said, "We thank you. We will write down all we have heard, and we wish you luck on the journey that still lies ahead of you. Now we will go and leave you to gather your strength for the journey home." As if at a signal, the monks rose quietly to leave the hall. At the door, they all turned to look once more at the dragon sitting between the columns, for they were not sure whether they would ever again in their lives be fortunate enough to see a dragon. "Ben," said Barnabas Greenbloom, when the hall was empty and only the llama was still with them, "we'll have to leave tomorrow, too. Guinevere's school term is about to begin. I was wondering," he continued awkwardly, running his hand through his gray hair, "if the dragon rider decided what to do yet?" Ben looked at Firedrake and Sorrel and Twigleg, who was sitting on the floor next to Lola. "Yes, please, I'd like to come too," he said. "With you, I mean."
"Wonderful!" cried Barnabas Greenbloom, shaking Ben's hand so hard it almost hurt. "Hear that, Vita? Hear that, Guinevere?"
Vita Greenbloom and her daughter smiled.
"Yes, Barnabas, we did," said Vita. "But however pleased you may be, you mustn't crush my future son's fingers."
Guinevere leaned over to Ben and whispered,
"You know, I've always wished I had a brother. It can sometimes be a real pain being an only child." "Yes, I can imagine,"
Ben whispered back, although at the moment he could imagine nothing but the most wonderful things in the world when he thought of his new family.
"See them whispering together," said Barnabas Greenbloom to his wife. "They've secrets from us already. This could be interesting."
Then they suddenly heard a sob. Twigleg was sitting on the floor with his face buried in his hands. Tiny tears trickled through his fingers and dripped on his bony knees.
"Twigleg?"
Ben knelt down beside the homunculus, concerned.
"But you knew I wanted to stay with the Greenblooms."
"Oh, yes, yes,"
the homunculus sobbed even louder.
"But what's to become of me? Where am I to go now, young master?"
Ben quickly picked him up and put him on his arm.
"Why, you'll stay with me, of course."
He glanced inquiringly at his new mother.
"That'll be all right, won't it?"
"Of course,"
replied Vita.
"We could really use your talents as an interpreter, Twigleg."
"Indeed we could," cried the professor. "How many languages do you speak?"
93,
murmured the homunculus, and he stopped sobbing.
"I tell you what," Guinevere tapped his knee. "You can live in my doll's house."
"Doll's house?"
The homunculus removed his hands from his face and looked at the girl indignantly.
"I am not a doll." "Nope. A nice cool corner of the cellar surrounded by a few books. That's what I'd really like."
"Well, that shouldn't be any problem," said Barnabas Greenbloom, smiling. "We have a big old house with a large cellar. But we'll be away a good deal on our travels, as you know. Hope you can live with that, too."
"Oh, yes."
Twigleg took a handkerchief out of his sleeve and blew his nose.
"I've actually enjoyed getting to know the world."
"Good, then let's get settled," said the professor happily. "Let's start packing."
He turned to Firedrake. "Is there anything else we can do for you? When do you plan to set off?" The dragon bent his head.
"As soon as the moon has risen in the sky. Admittedly, I haven't had much sleep recently, but I'll make up for that later. Now, I just want to start the journey. How about you, Sorrel?
No problem, muttered Sorrel, scratching her stomach.
Rather, yeah, there is just a tiny little problem.
Firedrake looked at her in surprise. What is it? Berber Chan cleared his throat.
I'd like to come too, he said. I could teach my two-arm relations how to grow cultivated mushrooms.
Firedrake nodded. Then I'll have two dragon riders, he said. All the better. He turned to the she-dragon, who was standing beside him licking her scales. But what about you, Maya? Asked Firedrake. Can you find your way back to the Rim of Heaven on your own? Of course. Maya raised her head and looked at him. But I'm not going back. Shimmertail is there to look after the others. I'm coming with you. Firedrake's heart leaped with joy. All of a sudden, he hardly minded what might be waiting for him on his return.
After all, suppose they don't believe you at home in the north? Asked Maya as if she had read his thoughts.
If I'm there too, I'll be living proof that you found us in the Rim of Heaven. And together, I'm sure we can persuade them to come back with us.
Two dragons, Barnabas Greenbloom frowned anxiously. That's not without its dangers, my dear Firedrake. It'd be harder for two dragons to find places to hide during the day.
Don't worry about that.
Lola Greytail scampered in among all the huge feet and claws. You see before you the best pilot they could possibly have, and, as it happens, I'm going the same way. The dragons will have to adjust to my speed now and then, that's all.
Are you going back already?
Asked Twigleg in surprise, looking down from Ben's arm.
I mean, have you finished your surveying?
Surveying? Huh!
The rat waved a dismissive paw.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invent things. I'm going to fake the map of these parts so cleverly that no one will ever find the Rim of Heaven.
She smoothed her ears of satisfaction. What do you say to that?
Firedrake bent down his neck to the little rat and gently nuzzled her fat hindquarters. We say thank you, and we'd be even more grateful to you and your uncle if such a map were widely distributed.
Oh, it will be, replied Lola. You bet it will. Uncle Gilbert has a very select circle of customers and a large extended family.
That's wonderful. With a sigh, Firedrake straightened up again. Then may I invite the smallest monks to go for a farewell flight on my back? Will you come too, Maya?
Of course, replied the she-dragon. I'll even carry some of the older ones if they like.
And so it was that the farmers down by the river, walking through their fields in the dusk, saw two dragons circling above the mountains. On their spiny crested backs, laughing like little children, sat the monks of the monastery, even the very oldest of them.